Hello and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Tonight we bring you something a bit different from our normal classic stories, an original script by our Brad Buchanan called Time Stands Still. Brad has done most of the adaptations for the radio show over the years, but in this case, we've decided to bring you a new story never before performed. Now we hope you enjoy this original production, Time Stands Still, presented by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players.
Look, I don't care how it happened, Sharla. One minute we had them covered. I had my gun on the guy, shot him in fact, and Mick was covering the girl. Then, all of a sudden, I was bound hand and foot naked, except for a bath towel done up like a diaper around my waist, an idiot written across my chest in lipstick. Mick was in even worse shape. He was trussed up like a hog, stripped stark naked, and it looked like they'd shaved every inch of his body, even his eyebrows. Nope, Sharla, if you want those two caught, you're going to have to send someone else. Mick and I ain't going back there.
It all started during the reading of my Uncle Otto's will. There was a gold watch and a girl, and everything changed.
Yes, a watch.
That's it? That's all he left me, this stupid watch?
Well, you must admit, it is quite a nice pocket watch. I mean, it is gold, and it has all that fancy scroll work on it, and it's...
Look, I understand it's a nice watch. My Uncle Otto was worth hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dollars, and
yes, he was very wealthy.
And who is getting all that money, Mr. Wilmot?
Almost all of it goes to charities. Food for the homeless, shelters for the dispossessed, and so on. As his attorney and close friend, I can assure you they are all very good causes, Stanley. I can get you a list if you wish.
No, that won't be necessary.
According to the will, your Uncle Otto set aside a trust in your name, and from that you will receive all the interest, but you can never touch the principal, or else the entire thing reverts to various charities.
And so how much income can I expect from this trust?
It is about what you have been receiving in your normal allowances. Comfortable, but not extravagant.
Jeez, I feel like I should get a t-shirt printed up that says, "My uncle had billions, and all I got was a stupid watch."
Oh, no. I don't think it's stupid at all. Your uncle was a master watchmaker, and he made that watch especially for himself, and always carried it with him. It must have meant a lot to him.
Yes, of course, you're right. It is a wonderful gift. It is selfish of me to grumble about the money. Shame on me.
There's no need to feel guilty. You have a right to look out for your own interests. And, to be honest, there were some strange things that used to happen around your uncle.
Boy, that's the truth.
No, I mean beyond the fact that he lived very humbly and was always low-key in spite of his wealth. No, there was more to it than that.
Like what?
Well, this is going to sound really weird, but at times it seemed like your uncle could do magic.
What do you mean, magic? Like tricks? Pulling a rabbit out of a hat?
Well, I don't really know whether it was him or just strange circumstances. I really shouldn't have said anything. I'm sorry.
Well, now my curiosity is piqued. Can you give me an example?
Well, it's really hard to explain. He just had this strange aptitude for settling down trouble. One time we were in a quick shop together, and some robber with a sock over his head tried to stick up the cashier. I saw him pointing a gun at her, and the next thing I knew, the cashier had the gun and was pointing it at the thief. The whole thing had turned around.
The cashier must have grabbed the gun out of the robber's hand.
Nope. I never saw her move a muscle.
And what about my uncle? Was he just standing nearby?
Yep. Right beside me. He never moved a muscle either. It just happened. One second, the robber had the gun, and the next second, the cashier had it. I don't know how, but it's the gospel truth, and those kind of things only seemed to happen when your Uncle Otto was around.
There was a few incidents like that, come to think of it, but I never gave them much thought. Well, thanks for filling me in.
Yes, your uncle was a very interesting man.
So basically, to sum up, after raising me from the time I was 7, following my mother and father's accident, putting me through college, telling me what classes to take while my uncle amassed huge sums of money according to his will, and all I get is my regular allowance and a gold watch.
Yes, my boy. That's about the size of it. But always remember, you were like a son to him, the son he never had.
Thank you, Mr. Wilmot. Yes, it is a beautiful watch. Hello?
Cousin Stanley, how are you, darling? It's been so long.
Do I know you?
Why, of course, silly. I'm your cousin. We met once at the large family reunion they held in St. Louis.
I don't remember a family reunion in St. Louis. How are we related exactly?
Oh, you silly goose. Your mother's sister married my uncle-in-law's son.
Hmm?
Well, it's complicated. But take it from me, we are cousins.
It seems pretty convoluted.
Life is convoluted, Stanley. But I had to come visit and see how you were doing since Uncle Otto passed.
That's nice of you. I am doing fine.
Oh, you are so strong. Such wonderful self-control. It all happened so suddenly.
Suddenly? Uncle Otto had been deathly ill for years before he died. It was not...
Oh, yes, I know. Poor man. What I meant was, his death itself was sudden. I mean, right at the moment he expired, that was sudden, right?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Yes, very sad. And I've come to comfort you in your time of mourning. After all, that's what family is all about, right?
Now, wait a second. If your uncle-in-law's son married my mother's sister, then how can you be kin to Uncle Otto?
Why, through you, you silly thing. But let's stop worrying about all that. What can I do to ease your pain?
Well, I'm not really in pain. I'm sorry Uncle Otto is gone.
Oh, yes, yes, me too. But what can I do to soothe you? Is there anything at all I can do to make you feel better?
Do you have any Tylenol by chance? I am getting a headache.
No, I don't have any Tylenol. But perhaps if I rubbed your shoulders...
No, I don't think that would be necessary.
Here now, you just hush. And let little Charlotte take care of you.
No. Oh, that's real.
Come on, Stanley.
Don't do that.
Stanley.
Stop it.
Come
Look,
on.
I'm being mugged. Now get off me.
Stop.
I thought we were cousins.
How does that feel?
Stop it.
Well, we're distant cousins.
Look, what do you really want? Is it the money? Well, surprise, surprise, there isn't any money. Uncle Otto gave it all away to charity.
What? To charity?
Yes, he gave it all away. There is no money except for a small allowance he left me in trust.
That's it? That's all he left you?
Yep, that's all. Well, that and his watch is a keepsake, I suppose. Something to remember him by.
Huh, a watch. Sounds like something you would get at a retirement dinner.
So there is no money, Charla. You can just cross that off your list of potential income sources. Excuse me a moment. Hello?
Hi there. I'm your new neighbor in the apartment next door, Billy Joe.
Nice to meet you, Billy Joe. I'm Stanley Plogington, and this is my, kind of cousin, Charla.
Nice to meet you.
Charmed.
So, are you moving in next door?
Yeah, I hate to bother you, but I was wondering if you have a screwdriver I could borrow, a Phillips. I'm trying to put my bed together, and I can't find mine in all the mess.
Oh, certainly. Miss, Billy Joe, I have one right over here.
Oh, Stanley, darling, do you know what time it is? There are some people I have to meet.
Yes, of course. Here, I'll use Uncle Otto's watch. Let's see, it's 4:32 precisely.
Oh my gosh, that's the most beautiful watch I've ever seen. Can I look at that?
Sure. Uncle Otto left it especially to me in his will.
Well, what's the fourth hand for?
The fourth hand? What do you mean?
Here, look. There's the hour hand, the minute hand, the sweep second hand, and then there's this smaller hand pointing up right at the 12.
Huh? I never noticed that, but you're right. There is a fourth hand. I never looked at it closely, but the other day I was winding it, and I pressed down on the winder, and there, see? A little black button pops out at the top. I have no idea what it is for.
Have you tried turning it?
No, but I could give it a whirl. Look, it's moving the little hand. And that's when it happened. Everything just stopped. There was a light blue tint everywhere. The people, the furniture, the whole room. It was as if I was wearing blue tinted sunglasses. Both Billy Joe and Sharla were completely motionless, both standing stock still. Billy Joe had her mouth open as if she was getting ready to say something. Sharla was staring at the watch. I looked back at the watch and saw the small hand pointed toward the one. As I watched, I thought I could see the little hand move almost imperceptibly back toward the 12. Huh? I wonder what that means. 5 minutes, maybe. Or at least 5 minutes in this time dimension. And then it hit me. This is how he did it. This is how he gave the robber's gun to the cashier. This was how he got rich. He had built a watch that could stop time, and now I understood why he had left me the watch and little else. First, I tried to talk to Billy Joe. Billy Joe, can you hear me? Hello? No responses. She was one of the most beautiful women I had ever seen. Absolutely stunning. Then I tried Sharla. Hello, Sharla, are you there? But both of them just stood there as they were. I touched both of them in, but neither one of them flinched. Then I looked out the window, and no, there was no traffic moving. There was a bird in the near distance, completely still. It looked like it had been painted on. So it was true. I was in a completely different time dimension. I was stunned. I didn't know what to do. So I just stood there, trying to think. Finally, I pushed the little black button down, and suddenly...
Yeah, I think if you just turn that black button, it might... Oh.
How did you get over there? By the window.
I walked, of course. Didn't you see me?
No, I didn't see you walk over there. You were standing right here a moment ago, fiddling with your watch, and now you're over there. How do you explain it?
There is nothing to explain. I was standing over there, and then I moved to over here.
There's something very odd going on.
I'll say you almost scared the dickens out of me coming up behind me like that.
Oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to frighten you.
How did you do it?
I don't really know.
Well, whatever it sure was a good trick.
Good trick indeed. Look, I have to go now. Have to meet somebody. But I'll be back to visit again soon, Cousin Stanley. You're a very interesting man.
Why, thank you, quasi-cousin Sharla. Good luck in your fortune hunting.
Yes, I'll leave you two to get acquainted. Goodbye for now.
Oh, boy, I'm glad she's gone. What a bloodsucker.
Yeah, she didn't strike me as a real nice lady.
Let's see, you came for a screwdriver, didn't you? Here, just 1 minute. Let me,
Actually, I came over because I was lonely. You see, my boyfriend and I, we...
Oh, a breakup?
Yeah, it wasn't very pretty. So I'm getting my own place. Moving on.
That's great. That's just what you should do.
Look, I've been pretty upset these last few weeks, and you seem like an understanding sort of guy. Do you mind if we just go out somewhere and talk?
No, not at all. I would like that very much. By the way, here's the Phillips head screwdriver that you wanted.
Oh, thanks. I'll toss it into my apartment on the way out. You driving?
Sure.
Good, because I don't have a car. How about a quiet park somewhere?
Sounds good to me. I need to run by the jewelry store on the way. There's something I need to get.
Oh, I love jewelry. Let's go. Beautiful here. So green. So peaceful.
Yes, it sure is. So, tell me your story, Billy Joe.
Oh, there isn't much to tell. I'm from Arkansas originally. I had an abusive father, and my boyfriend Leroy was hot to get out of there, so we took off. Didn't really know where we were going. We just left.
In my experience, it's hard to reach a destination when you don't know where you're going.
Well, Leroy apparently knew where he was going, and that was right into the arms of the cocktail waitress I found him with a few weeks ago. And that was that. So here I am. Pretty typical story, huh? Boy meets girl. Boy finds cocktail waitress. Boy loses girl. And that's about it. What about you?
Me? Well, I was orphaned at an early age when both my parents died in a plane crash. I was raised by my Uncle Otto, who died just last week.
Oh, that's sad. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I miss Uncle Otto, and I'm sorry he's gone, but he lived a long and fruitful life.
Oh, yes, and that's where the watch came from, right?
Yes, Uncle Otto left it to me in his will.
That's nice. Oh, look over there, those two girls sunbathing. Boy, are they flaunting their stuff.
Oh, yes, I did notice them, I must admit.
How about that couple over there? Looks like they are fighting. See how he's hollering at her?
Yes, it looks like they are not getting along very well.
Beautiful sunshiny day like this, and they decide to have a shouting match.
It is a shame, Toys.
Oh, did you see that? He just hit her.
Oh, no violence. I hate violence.
Those two little boys on their bicycles saw it. Now that is pretty low down, hitting girls in front of innocent little boys.
Well, one of those innocent little boys looks like he is getting ready to throw something. Oh, look out! What was that?
It was the bottom of an ice cream cone. Darn, I got it all over my shirt. Oh, well. It was an old shirt anyway.
I'm glad to see you take it so well. Most girls I know
Yeah, I know. Females can be picky about their clothing, but not me. Hey, can I take a look at your watch? It's pretty.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. It's just me, your new friend Billy Joe. See, we didn't have expensive things like that watch back in Arkansas.
Okay, here you go. Just don't play with the little black...
But it was too late. Poor Stanley didn't speak up quick enough, because I had the black button out and turned quick as you could say Arkansas. Everything turned a bluey color and just stopped. Stanley was right beside me, his mouth open in mid-sentence. The little boys were still on their bikes, just a few yards down the sidewalk from us, but they were dead still. The sunbathing girls looked like they were deep asleep, and the man who had just hit the girl was in mid-swing, his open palm just inches from the girl's cheek. I had turned the black button just in time to save her from being smacked again. So I just figured, while everything was stopped, that I would make a few adjustments. It probably took me about 20 minutes to get things the way I wanted them. Then I sat back down on the bench beside Stanley and pushed the black button. The blue haze disappeared and everything came to life again.
Button, because the black button is not... Oh, goodness, what is going on?
Oh, nothing, really.
Nothing? Look, everyone in the park is running around like the world is coming to an end. Did you touch the black button?
Maybe a little bit.
Here, give me that.
Sure, it's your watch. You spoke up too late. I turned it, and everything came to a screeching halt.
Yes, but what did you do? Everyone is running around like they're crazy.
Since everything stopped, I decided to set a few things straight.
Like what? Oh, my, those girls running toward the cars don't have their bathing suits anymore.
Nope. I took their swimming outfits and threw them deep into the woods over there. Seemed like if they wanted to show it off, I'd help them show it off for real.
Oh, no, Billy Joe, that's not
what... those boys on their bikes, I took what was left of that ice cream cone, split it in half, and stuffed the pieces down the front of their shirts. That ought to cool them off a little bit.
And the man who was fighting with the girl? What happened to him?
Well, I thought I'd give him time to cool off. I just happened to have a little super glue here in my purse, so I glued his hands over his mouth. See how he looks like he just ate something nasty and is getting ready to barf?
Oh, Billy Joe, you shouldn't have done that. It's none of our business, and I don't think Uncle Otto
would... Uncle Otto is not with us anymore, as sad as that might be. Don't you think he would want us to stop trouble from brewing if he could?
Well, yes. In fact, the attorney, Mr. Wilmot, said my uncle had a talent for settling things down.
And now we know how he did it. After you moved without us seeing it back at the apartment, I figured your watch had something to do with it. I just didn't know how it was done. Your cousin Charla is probably thinking the same thing.
You're right. I bet she is suspicious.
Yep. She probably knows you moved from one side of the room to the other using the watch somehow. She just didn't know how, like me.
Which means that...
Right again, which means she will be coming for that watch. She will try to get hold of it any way she can. You'd better watch your back, Stanley.
I'll take precautions.
Do you have any money on you? I suddenly feel like an ice cream cone. Well, thanks for taking me to the park. That was loads of fun.
Yeah.
Look, that watch is amazing. If you let me borrow it for a minute, I can pick up my apartment, and it won't feel like a moment to you. Then you can come in and I'll fix you a nice supper.
I don't know, Billy Joe. I'm not sure the watch should be used like that. How about you come to my place and we get a bite to eat there?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Yes, well, and I think we had better talk about this watch. It is a powerful instrument, and I think Uncle Otto would only want it to be used in certain ways, for certain things.
Like what?
Here, have a seat. Well, for instance, I don't think Uncle Otto would approve of taking girls' swimsuits and leaving them naked in the park.
Oh, those two little sluts deserved it. They wanted everyone to look at them, and I just made sure they got their wish.
Yes, I understand, but you didn't know Uncle Otto. I don't think he would have approved.
Oh, kind of snobby was he?
No, not snobby. He was a man of honor, someone who wanted to help the world be a better place. I can't see him using the watch to hurt anyone.
Well, how about using it to make sure someone did not get hurt, like the man who was beating up the girl?
Yes, I can see him using the watch for something like that. Still, we have to be very careful how we use it. If the watch fell into the wrong hands, it could be used for evil purposes.
Like stealing?
Yes, like stealing or worse.
Well, your uncle was rich. Where did he get all that money?
I'm sure he didn't steal it, not from anyone who had earned it legitimately. He may have taken money from thieves, or the mob, or inside traders, people who were not playing fair. But just think of all the horrible things this watch could be used for if it fell into the wrong hands. Not just thievery, but arson, rape, murder. Why, a person could stop time walking to a national security bunker and set off a bunch of nukes.
Wow, you're right. I never thought of that.
Yes, we have to be very careful how we use this watch. And we have to make sure it stays in our possession, because other people may not use it in good ways.
Like your cousin Charlotte.
Exactly. And when we do use it, we have to be very careful not to let other people catch on. It was stupid of me to change places in the room when you and Charlotte were here, but I didn't know what had happened.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious something was going on.
Okay, so here are two rules for using the watch. First, we only use it to do good things, stuff that will help people in need.
I agree. Stealing those girls' bathing suits was a little over the top. I saw you looking at them, and I guess I got a little jealous.
And it shouldn't be used just because someone gets jealous. The second rule is that every time we use the watch, we have to return to our exact position before we restart time, so people won't catch on that we've altered anything.
That makes sense, too. Boy, you are a smart fellow. But what are you going to do about Charla? She already knows you can do strange things with that watch.
Well, we could try to track her down, but she might not even try anything. And I can't punish someone based solely on suspicion. My instinct tells me to wait until she makes the first move, and we will have to stay on our toes, just in case.
I think she is an evil old witch and is bound to come after us, but I'll go along with whatever you say.
Just a minute. Oh, hello, Charla. Back so soon?
I just couldn't stay away. And these are my friends, Bruno and Mick. Say hello to my cousin Stanley, boys. Well, they aren't too talkative.
Why do they have guns?
They have guns, little mountain girl, because we came on business. I want the watch.
The watch? You mean Uncle Otto's old thing?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. And I will have it.
Now, Charla, you didn't have to come in here with your henchmen, for heaven's sakes. We're cousins. Here, let's sit down and talk. Tell them to put their guns away.
They aren't putting anything away. Keep them covered, boys. Now, I know this afternoon you used that watch to move from there to there in a blink of an eye. I don't know how you did it, but you had that watch in your hand when it happened. So give it here. Whatever the trick is, I want to learn it.
Okay, easy, Charla. If you want the watch so much, it's right here in my pocket. May I put my hand into my pocket without one of your boys blowing my brains out?
Just go slow. Nice and slow. That's it. Now just hand it over here to Cousin Charla.
Sure. Here you go.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Now, would you please ask your boys to just...
I've got what I came for. You fellows know what to do. Bye-bye, Cousin Stanley, and you too, little hillbilly girl.
Oh, no, Stanley, this is it. They're going to kill us.
No, Billy Joe. You boys wouldn't do that, would you? I mean, you wouldn't shoot down two innocent people in their apartment, would you? Hey, look, I gave Charla the wrong watch. Doggone it. Look, this is the watch Charla wanted. Uncle Otto's watch. I gave her my old one. Now, if you just let me... Oh, Billy Joe, no! And in the hazy blue moment after I pushed the black button, everything froze before me. Billy Joe was frozen in midair where she was leaping at one of the gunmen. There was a bullet about halfway between the shooter and me. I looked closely at the bullet, and it seemed to be inching forward, although you could hardly see it. I took the bullet between my thumb and forefinger and turned it, pointed it harmlessly toward the window. Then I put my arms under Billy Joe, and she was light as a feather, like lifting styrofoam, only pliable. I could move her around. Quickly, I molded her over my shoulder in a fireman's carry and got out of there, leaving the frozen gunman behind. As I came out in the front door of the building, everything on the street was dead still. Nothing moved. And for just a moment before pushing the black button again, I enjoyed the peace and serenity of the utter stillness in that one point in time. It reminded me of philosophy class. Infinity is a long time, but eternity is no time at all. This then was eternity. And before I could push the black button again, everything came back to life.
What? Where are we?
Out in front of the building.
But how did we... Oh, you used the watch, didn't you?
Yes.
But I thought you gave the watch to Sharla.
Oh, I gave her a watch, all right. Remember when we went to the jewelry store on the way to the park? Well, I picked up another pocket watch that looked a lot like Uncle Otto's, just in case Sharla dropped by. I told you I'd take precautions.
But where are the gunmen?
Oh, gosh, I left them in the room. They're probably on the way down. We better get out of here.
Give me the watch.
No, Billy Joe, I can't
give
do that.
Give me the watch. Those boys deserve a lesson, and I'm going to give them one.
No, Billy Joe, you can't hurt
them. I won't hurt them. Just teach them a lesson. Now give it here.
Okay.
And I was back in the blue world of no movement again. Well, I found those boys just outside the apartment, and I lugged them back in and had a good time with them. Did one up like a baby, and shaved the other one so close it almost skinned him. It was a lot of fun, but I cut it short and was back out on the street with Stanley in no time.
Oh, there you moved. Oh, did you?
Yep.
Do we need to hurry now?
Nope.
But you didn't hurt them?
Only their pride, Stanley. I only hurt their pride.
All right, Billy Joe, I trust you.
But what about Sharla? You know she'll be back.
Yeah, she'll be back, but I won't.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm getting out of here, going someplace where Sharla can never find me. Live a relatively normal life.
Say, isn't that her over there, under that quick shop light? Looks like she's fiddling with the watch you gave her.
Yes, and there's a Brinks truck right there, picking up money. What a coincidence. Yeah, I want to get out of here before she figures out that's not Uncle Otto's watch.
So, you're leaving?
Yeah, I gotta go.
I understand. Where are you going?
No place special. I was thinking about Buenos Aires to start. Wanna come with me?
But I just moved in here today.
That's good. That means you haven't had a chance to get attached to the place yet.
Well, that's true. So you really want me to come along?
Yes.
But we just met today. How can you be so sure?
Because watch or no watch, when I'm with you, time stands still.
We hope you've enjoyed this Maplewood Barn radio production called, appropriately enough, Time Stands Still by Brad Buchanan. Our players were John McCumber as Stanley, Carrie Butters as Mr. Wilmot, Pat Humphrey as Sharla, Kelly Catraba as Billy Joe, and Brad Buchanan as the Strong Arm. I'm Darren Helwedge, your narrator and producer for the program. Please join us again next week at the same time for another story brought to you by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players, right here on KBIA.